The Fortune of the Rougons by Émile Zola, translated by Ernest Alfred Vizetelly. Introduction by Ernest Vizetelly. The Fortune of the Rougons is the initial volume of the Rougon-Macquart series. Though it was by no means Monsieur Zola's first essay in fiction, it was undoubtedly his first great bid for genuine literary fame, and the foundation of what must necessarily be regarded as his life work. The idea of writing the natural and social history of a family under the Second Empire, extending to a score of volumes, was doubtless suggested to Monsieur Zola by Balzac's immortal Comédie humaine. He was 28 years of age when this idea first occurred to him. He was 53 when he at last sent the manuscript of his concluding volume, Dr. Pascal, to the press. He had spent 25 years in working out his scheme, persevering with it doggedly and stubbornly, whatever rebuffs he might encounter, whatever jeers and whatever insults might be directed against him by the ignorant, the prejudiced, and the hypocritical. Truth was on the march, and nothing could stay it, even as, at the present hour, its march, if slow, nonetheless continues athwart another and a different crisis of the illustrious novelist's career. It was in the early summer of 1869 that Monsieur Zola first began the actual writing of The Fortune of the Rougons. It was only in the following year, however, that the serial publication of the work commenced in the columns of Le Siècle, the republican journal of most influence in Paris in those days of the Second Empire. The Franco-German War interrupted this issue of the story, and publication in book form did not take place until the latter half of 1871, a time when both the war and the Commune had left Paris exhausted, supine, with little or no interest in anything. No more unfavourable moment for the issue of an ambitious work of fiction could have been found. Some 2 or 3 years went by, as I well remember, before anything like a revival of literature and of public interest in literature took place. Thus Monsieur Zola launched his gigantic scheme, under auspices which would have made many another man recoil. The Fortune of the Rougons and 2 or 3 subsequent volumes of his series attracted but a moderate degree of attention, and it was only on the morrow of the publication of L'Assommoir that he awoke, like Byron, to find himself famous. As previously mentioned, the Rougon-Macquart series forms 20 volumes. The last of these, Dr. Pascal, appeared in 1893. Since then, Monsieur Zola has written Lourdes, Rome, and Paris. Critics have repeated ad nauseam that these last works constitute a new departure on Monsieur Zola's part, and so far as they formed a new series, this is true. But the suggestion that he has in any way repented of the Rougon-Macquart novels is ridiculous. As he has often told me of recent years, it is, as far as possible, his plan to subordinate his style and methods to his subject. To have written a book like Rome, so largely devoted to the ambitions of the Papal See, in the same way as he had written books dealing with the drunkenness or other vices of Paris, would have been the climax of absurdity. Yet the publication of Rome was the signal for a general outcry on the part of English and American reviewers that Zolaism, as typified by the Rougon-Macquart series, was altogether a thing of the past. To my thinking, this is a profound error. Monsieur Zola has always remained faithful to himself. The only difference that I perceive between his latest work, Paris, and certain Rougon-Macquart volumes, is that with time, experience, and assiduity, his genius has expanded and ripened, and that the hesitation, the groping for truth, so to say, which may be found in some of his earlier writings, has disappeared. At the time when The Fortune of the Rougons was first published, none but the author himself can have imagined that the foundation stone of one of the great literary monuments of the century had just been laid. From the story point of view, the book is one of Monsieur Zola's very best, although its construction, particularly as regards the long interlude of the idyll of Miette and Silvère, is far from being perfect. Such a work, when first issued, might well bring its author a measure of popularity, but it could hardly confer fame. Nowadays, however, looking backward, and bearing in mind that one here has the genius of Monsieur Zola's life-work, The Fortune of the Rougons becomes a book of exceptional interest and importance. This has been so well understood by French readers that during the last 6 or 7 years the annual sales of the work have increased threefold, where, over a course of 20 years, 1,000 copies were sold.